Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the PCI podcast. Wherever you are and however you're listening, it's great to have you with us. In this episode, we'll be taking some time to explore the opportunity for ministry among those in later life. We hear so much about how we are an increasingly aging society and an aging church. The focus often falls on the challenges that brings, but that reality also offers enormous possibilities for ministry and outreach through the local church if we have eyes to see them. I'm Andrew Dixon, PCI's Congregational Life Development Officer, hosting the conversation, and I'm delighted to be joined by Alex Drew, who leads the work of a ministry called Faith in Later Life, and by David Thompson, Secretary of PCI's Council for Congregational Life and Witness, which will be partnering with Faith in Later Life to bring an event on this theme called Age of Opportunity to Assembly Buildings Belfast on the morning of Thursday, the 16th of May. Alex and David, you're both very welcome. I'm looking forward to this conversation today, and I suspect you are as well. So Alex, let's begin with you. What do we mean whenever we use the phrase later life? And tell us the story of how you came to become interested and involved in ministry among those in this age range.
Thank you ever so much for having me on today. Well, at Faith in Later Life, we count later life as being over 65, but we appreciate that there's a huge difference between those who are 65 and those who are 95. We wouldn't put a one-year-old and a 31-year-old in the same grouping, and so we have to be careful about how we do that. But 65 plus is the area in which we pick up the right statistics that help us in some of our research and understanding. But we have an awareness that actually we have the early retireds, and then we have those who are seriously then in later life. I got involved in the work of Faith in Later Life actually a few years ago. I had the privilege of leading a seniors ministry in a local church. And through that, I just really got to see what older people are capable of in terms of their own responding to their own calling, and also what the opportunities are to share the good news of Jesus with those in later life. My work in that was actually during the pandemic. And even at that time, when people were behind closed doors, we managed to grow our team of seniors workers. We managed to increase engagement among those in later life. And we even saw some older people come to faith, and we had a baptism. So I figured, if God can do all of that behind closed doors and without us being able to do all the things we normally do in a church, what could God do once society reopens? So when this job at Faith in Later Life came along, I thought it was a good match for me, and I've been enjoying the opportunity to embrace that.
Thanks, Alex. It's really good to get that outline of what later life looks like and to hear how God is moving amongst that generation of people. David, we'll come to you. How did PCI gain an interest in this particular aspect of ministry and mission? And why do you think it's so important in terms of where the church finds itself just now?
One of the things I love about how this particular aspect of ministry came about is that it was just one of those things that almost happened off to the side in an unplanned way, and you can see God's hand in it. The conversation with Faith in Later Life really started when I was at an evangelism conference at All Souls Langham Place in London. And there were a number of organisations who had stands down the side of the church that you could go to during the coffee break. And I noticed this one called Faith in Later Life, and I'd never really heard of that before, but it looked really interesting. And I ended up falling into conversation with a guy who was manning the stand, who is one of Alex's predecessors in Faith in Later Life, a guy called Carl. And as we chatted, it just seemed there was a significant overlap in how we were thinking about ministry to those in later life. And particularly, we could see that for most churches, what that involved was a pastoral response to many of the challenges of getting older. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. That's really important. But there was little evidence of much thinking about discipleship among those in later life. You know, what are the particular challenges of following Jesus in this age and stage of life? And how could we get better about talking about that? And then as we chatted as well, there was also little evidence of how we were equipping members in later life for those challenges, as well as drawing on their experience to benefit everybody of all ages in later life. And then the third bit of the conversation was around evangelism to those in later life. And there seemed to be a yawning gap there as well. Many of the popular resources used by churches in evangelism had a very definite look and feel that was aimed to connect with a younger generation and its culture, and that's really important. But there didn't seem to be much that took as its starting point the reality of being in later years. And so that was just a great conversation. And I suppose it's one of those things that you get back on the plane and come home and you think, I wonder will we ever do it if that. But Karen and I kept in touch and kept talking, and that's just been really good, and it's got us now with Alex to where we are today. The reason I think this is so important, Andrew, in terms of where the church finds itself now, is that we are living in an increasingly aging society in the Western world. And that's true of the church in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland as well. There's a demographic of a large proportion of the mission field God has placed us in that is older than we're maybe used to. And to ignore that would be just absurd. And one of the things that we're finding in church life at the minute is a real lament of a lack of children and young people. And that is understandable, and that is a concern. But on the other hand, it might be expected that as church membership mirrors an increasingly aging society, this is how it's going to be, and we need to respond to that. Many years ago, I remember hearing a criticism of a minister that he preached to the congregation he wished he had in front of him each Sunday, rather than the one that was there. And we can do the same thing as churches in terms of shaping our life and witness to an imaginary membership and mission field. And that would be just such a waste of an opportunity that God's setting before us. And that's one of the reasons PCI's Congregational Witness Committee pushed ahead in producing an evangelistic resource called All the Days of My Life, which is built around content and format specifically designed to fit for use with those in later life. It's a pretty unique resource in that respect, and it was just great to work with Faith in Later Life and have their eyes and experience in that project too, and that really improved the quality of it. So there's just been this synergy right from that opening conversation between what we're seeing here in PCI and how we're trying to respond, and what Alex and the team have been doing in Faith in Later Life. And that's just been lovely to be part of.
Thanks, David. Alex, David has mentioned there some things like discipleship, evangelism, pastoral care of those in later life. I mean, can you give us a little bit more insight into what your organization, Faith in Later Life, does?
Yes, so we're passionate about all of those things. I mean, we believe what the gospel says and tells us throughout the Bible, in fact, that God wants none to perish. And so we need to be sharing the good news of Jesus with everybody of all ages. The second thing is that he calls us to a lifelong discipleship. It's not something that we used to do. Discipleship is something that we do for the whole of our lives. It will look different as time goes on, but it's actually something that will enrich us and enable us to worship God all the way, even when we are in those later stages of life. And the third thing is about responding to our lifelong call to make disciples. We don't think that older people retire from that call. The Bible says God's call is irrevocable. Again, how that looks when you're in your 90s compared to how you were in your 20s will be different. You might not be the evangelist standing on the big stage in front of hundreds and thousands of people anymore. You might be ministering in a different way, perhaps from a care home or in a care setting in your own home, but the call remains. And what we want to do at Faith in Later Life is help people to respond to those three things: claiming the gospel for themselves, being discipled, and responding to God's lifelong call to make disciples. And so the way that we do that is we actually work through what we call church champions. So they are the people in the church, and I'm sure we can all think of who that is in our church, but it's that person who's got a real heart for older people. They might be characterized by perhaps running the luncheon club or overseeing the lift rota on a Sunday or hosting the coffee morning. They know when older people's birthdays are and they know how everybody is. Sometimes that's the pastoral care worker, but we call them church champions, and we invite them to connect with us. And what we want to then do is to share helpful information with them that enables them to make the best of their ministry among older people, to help them with all of those three things. So we have regular training events. We have networking events. It's really important, actually, to have these networking events. We do them on Zoom. They're every other month. And what that does is it brings together all those church champions, all those people with a heart for older people, and it helps them to connect. It's actually quite a rare thing. I guess the youth workers and children's workers gather together quite regularly for high fives and encouragement. But actually, if you are a seniors worker, that's not an opportunity you get very often. So that's what we provide for them. And then on alternate months, we have some training seminars, which we hope will help them in their special ministry among older people. We cover subjects like dementia, scams and frauds, evangelism among older people, how to minister in a rural context to older people, all of these kinds of things. So that's a key part of our work, is to equip and inspire church champions. And the second part of our work is actually to influence culture. So our church champions, these people with a heart for older people, are actually kind of working against the flow of society, because society isn't celebrating them or the people they minister among. And so we want to speak into secular and Christian radio and just remind everybody really about the value of older people, the value of those who bother to work with older people, and actually how God sees all of that as a wonderful thing. So we know from our research that the four areas that most concern our church champions are dementia, bereavement, loneliness, and how to share the gospel with older people. So those are the four subjects that we try to always ensure are part of our program. And those are the areas that we want to resource people in as well as possible. We've got a great website, lots of resources, and I send out a monthly newsletter to keep people just informed about the latest thinking around later life ministry.
Brilliant, thank you. You mentioned there within all of that how you're seeking to use your voice as an organization to influence society, and obviously partnership is key within all of this in the way in which you equip church champions and journey alongside churches. I mean, if you could sum up on whether it relates to the dementia, bereavement, loneliness, or seeking to share faith and pass on the gospel, what kind of message do you think the church needs to bring about later life in this moment? And how does that run counter to so many of those messages you have just spoken about there in society?
Well, the church is a brilliant example, actually, of how we can be useful and purposeful and vibrant in some manner for the whole of our lives. Because where else in society do we see older people so purposefully engaged on a week by week basis? We know that older people are preaching, they're part of the youth group teams, and they are welcoming on the door, they're making coffee, they're making phone calls. They are very, very active in the church in a way that actually we don't see so much in society. So the church has a great opportunity to actually share what it is that they are achieving among older people in their communities. But actually, those aren't the messages often that churches are giving out. And they celebrate the youth work, they celebrate the children's work, they might even celebrate the men's ministry or the women's ministry. But actually, it's not very often, perhaps on a Sunday morning, that space is given to celebrate the important work of older people in the church. So it's a great message they could be taking out a little bit further, but so far they are really a great example of what can be achieved in later life. Society gives us very different messages. Society tells us that younger is better than older, which is ridiculous. Certainly as a Christian, it's absurd, because God doesn't have favorites. He values us for the whole of our lives. But actually, society excludes older people from a lot of things. People's lives are hugely affected by this kind of ageism. We see that there are differences in the way people are treated in the workplace after they're 50, even. I mean, I'm about to be 50. I'd hate to think that I'd be treated differently because of my age. We also know that people who are older are treated differently in the healthcare sector. That has a huge impact actually on their well-being down the line when they're not given the same priorities sometimes as others. And they're also treated differently in the housing market. There are a lot of older people living in terrible housing situations, which will impact their level of flourishing. And so society is actually giving out a lot of the wrong messages about later life, that it doesn't matter, that youth is what really counts. And what that's leading to, we've seen some research recently that shows that over half of people in midlife, so over half of people aged 40 to 60, are afraid of later life, because all they see is this negativity around what it is to grow old. And they're not seeing the vibrance and purpose that we often see in churches. And that's why, again, church has a wonderful opportunity to leak that message out that, you know, life can be good for the whole of life. It will change. It's different. But actually, you know, God designed us to age. Being able to live longer is not something that everybody gets to do, but it's actually, you know, life is the antidote to death, isn't it? So it's something that we should be celebrating as a church. We should say, wow, look at our older people. Look how they are glorifying God simply by their existence, because we know the enemy would have it another way.
Andrew, I just love Alex's enthusiasm about that and passion about that. And it just strikes me that that is what's often missing in our church life in terms of trying to address this particular age and stage of life. It does seem to me that for society, getting older is something to be dreaded and avoided. And it's not as if we can avoid it anyway. It's going to happen. And it's seeing God's way of understanding that and seeing that and having his perspective on it that just seems so, so important. I also thought it was great what Alex said about we're already doing this. One of the things we hear regularly in church life at the minute, especially coming out of the pandemic, whenever it's just difficult to do a lot of things and do simple things well, is that nobody wants extra things to do. And so in many ways, what we're talking about here is an opportunity to focus and channel what we're already doing and what we're already doing well, and do it better and do it in ways that really engages and encourages older people in the church. Seems to me as well that we are moving into a moment where we talk a lot about the church as an all-age community, but we're actually going to have to find ways to express that. And I think we're all wrestling with that in our heads, but that's got to include both ends of the spectrum. It's got to include the children and young people and the younger families, of course it has, but it's also got to include those who are at the other end of the age spectrum. You spend a lot of time in my job sitting in committee meetings, and sometimes they're not the most exciting things, but occasionally people say things that really stick with you. And it's some years ago that I was sitting in a meeting and someone made this comment: church had become a cold house for older people. You know, that's really stuck with me, and it would be tragic if that was the case. And yet, as I think about that, Andrew, the truth is that sometimes I do kind of see that. We don't sing the worship songs that are really important to that generation anymore and that really matter to them in terms of their discipleship and later life. I sometimes do work with Kirk Sessions, and the people who are doing all the talking are the younger people. And it's like the older elders feel disengaged, and I don't have anything to contribute here. And the world has changed so much that actually I'd be better just to keep silent off to the side. And yet what a tragedy that is, because there is a wisdom and experience that only comes with the passing of the years. And so in lots of ways, I think we really do have to think about rebalancing. It's not that we're throwing out one and trying to do something else at the other, or saying young people and children are unimportant and now it's all about the older people because we're in an aging society. It's not that. It's about a proper rebalancing and a bringing together of church life so that it genuinely is an all-age community and sees the best of all of those ages bringing each other closer to God and the work that he wants us to do.
Thanks, David. Alex, conscious listening to both of you that there's an awful lot we have to celebrate. And yeah, there's an awful lot we probably need to be mindful of. And there'll be certainly that tension reflected in a lot of our congregations too, and probably a wrestling of how do we do some of this stuff that you've talked about, and how do we become a little bit more intentional within that? I mean, as you speak to us in this podcast and as you'll speak to us in May, what are some very simple things that everyday, very ordinary churches existing across this island can begin to do to make a more intentional approach to ministry among those in later life? Have you any practical tips or things
Yes.
that have worked well that you feel this would be really good for you to hear?
Absolutely. Start today. Start today by getting to know your older people, not just for the person they are in front of you today, perhaps with some of their frailties and some of the things they can no longer do, but actually get to know them for the whole person who they've been for the whole of their lives. We need to stop just looking at what people can't do any longer and actually see who they are and what they may still be able to do today. We just have to get a little bit more creative about how they now express their calling. And that starts with getting to know people. If you don't know somebody's passion and somebody's history, you can't actually help them to be mobilized again. So that's the key thing. Get to know your older people for who they are today and for who they've been for the whole of their lives. Secondly, we encourage churches to celebrate the whole age profile of their church. As you said, David, younger people and children are hugely important. You know, imagine what a difference could be made in society if we had more younger people raising families, leading businesses, moving about as Christians. That's a wonderful impact we could have. But actually, for older people, we have so much less time to share the gospel. And so we actually want to encourage people, older people, to be drawn to the church, to be drawn to the good news. We can do that by showing them that we celebrate them, that they matter to us, and that we value them as God values them. So celebrate the entire age profile of your church. The other thing is that if you don't currently have an older person on your leadership team, you're hugely missing out. Some churches may lament that all they have are older people on their leadership teams. And well, that yes, there's always room for expansion and a bit more diversity. But if your church leadership team is one where there aren't any older people, you're missing out on 60 odd years of history and experience of evangelism and passion that's been honed over a lifetime. They've already done so many different things, and actually their voice into your leadership team is really important. And also, you know, it's just the fact that life expectancy is rising and birth rates are declining. So we are always going to have older people among us in churches. We're not going to run out of older people, which means we need to get really good at understanding, well, how do we share the gospel with those people? How do we help older people be discipled? How do we help them to respond to their lifelong call to make disciples? And you will not know the answer to those questions if you don't have an older person as part of your team that looks at strategic vision for your church. So it's really important to us that older people have a voice into that. So those would be three key things. And I would say, I imagine many churches are already doing things, but if you haven't yet got a person who is sort of leading the work of seniors ministry in your church, get one, appoint one. That person with a heart for older people, invite them to do more, support them to do what they can. Put finances behind it. You know, we invest heavily in our youth ministries and children's ministries. Are we investing in our seniors ministries? We should be. It will be the biggest ministry going forward of our churches. And so if we care about that, we need to put our money where our mouth is. Ministries. If you haven't yet got a seniors ministry, then get something going. Start a coffee morning, a daytime Bible study, have an outing, invite them to a session where they can sing hymns or learn about hymns. There's so many different things that churches all over the place are doing. And we've got some ideas on Faith in Later Life website if anyone would like to find out more.
Yeah, again, Andrew, just listening to that, it strikes me that what we're talking about here are relatively simple things. And again, that's a message that we want to hear in the church at the moment. Who wants complicated? Who wants difficult? We want to be able to step on the bottom rung of the ladder. And it is great that many churches across PCI do have something for seniors happening every week or every month. One of the great things about church is it does provide a space and a place for older people. And that's become really important in society, I think, because loneliness and isolation are real issues for this age range of people. And churches tend to be pretty good at this. A cup of tea, a chat, somewhere warm, a place we can get out of the house. And it's whether we can just be imaginative enough and creative enough to add something to that that has specifically Christian content that either helps with discipleship issues or helps with evangelism. And again, that doesn't have to be big. It can be really simple, but it just puts an edge to what we're doing and makes something that's already really good just really, really better and gives it a ministry or a mission edge. I think one of the other things that strikes me is, are we talking about the particular challenges of following Jesus in later life? Are we doing that in the sermons that are preached? Are we doing that in the Bible study material that's being chosen? Sometimes I think we're not doing that for the very reason we said earlier on, that we have this fear of going into later life. And so we just decide we're not going to talk about that. We're going to pretend that's not a discipleship issue. And some of the things that we could profitably talk about, I think, for people in this age range are things like regret, are things like finding purpose when you're not working anymore, or the family's moved away, or you're not looking after the grandchildren the way you were. Well, how do you find your purpose in that stage of life? Worth, you know, human worth, because again, for older people, society says, you're not really that important, but you're still important to God, massively so, whatever age you are. We probably need to get better at talking about failing health, because again, we don't like to talk about that. And also death, loss and bereavement, which are very real things that again, sometimes we just internalize. And the way we approach these things pastorally, rather than as a discipleship issue, maybe encourages that internalization. And all of talking about all of these things is about how do we encounter Jesus in that particular mix, in that season of life. It would be great if we just got better at that and more honest about that and more open about that and more grateful about that. I think that would be really good. And I guess the other thing, and Alex mentioned it as well, is let's recognize the evangelistic moment that later life brings as well, because it is a time when life is less busy. It is a time when you begin to look back and reflect on how you've lived. It maybe is a time where you have a far greater sense of your mortality. And too often, I think evangelistically, we think that if someone has lived without God most of their life, they're not going to change now. Really? Is that what we really believe about God? That he can't change people's lives because they've been so ingrained and live in one way that they can never find his way? Well, I hope not, because really, if that's the default we're falling into, then we've really lost our confidence in the gospel and in God.
Yes, it's definitely a challenge. When we're helping older people come to know Jesus or introducing him to his very good news, and we've got so many more obstacles to overcome, really. They have a lifetime often of misconceptions about God, about the church, and about God's people. And so it's actually a bit of a journey to walk alongside them and help them actually bust some of the myths around that they've come to believe and embrace the love of Jesus for them. But one of the things I just wanted to add to your list, David, you talked about regret and worth and some of those important things that we as Christians as well need to understand. One of the things that we have come up again and again as an obstacle to discipleship in later life, so people who already know Jesus, is actually deep-seated unforgiveness. And it can be a real barrier to flourishing in later life as a believer when we live with unforgiveness. And that's why our discipleship program among older people really needs to get serious, because to enter into the later phase of life when perhaps you are a little bit more isolated, you are unwell, and all of those things that may come with very later life, to also carry the burden of unforgiveness is a heavy thing to carry around. And it is also a barrier to sharing the good news of Jesus. You know, the person who's being cared for, who is free of unforgiveness in their lives, just exudes the glory of Jesus to those around them. There are also Christians, I'm afraid, who have not managed to free themselves of unforgiveness and the story they tell to those who care for them and look after them in later life is actually a very different one, and it is an obstacle to the gospel. And so I think unforgiveness is something we should take really seriously. We need to start as early as possible. We need to start in younger life, and we need to get good habits of forgiveness throughout our whole lives so that we're not saddled with that burden in later life.
Thank you both. There's probably so many different things and different aspects and areas of life that we can speak into and seek to disciple and reach out with the good news of Jesus to those in later life. David mentioned earlier on, Alex, one of the resources produced by PCI, All the Days of My Life. What do you make of that as a bit of an example or a simple way of churches approaching ministry and outreach among those in later life in this moment?
I think it's a really brilliant conversation starter to help people who aren't used to talking about God actually get into conversations about God, about the love of Jesus. And of course, it's done through a psalm, which most older people will have heard throughout their lives in some setting or other. So there's that familiarity. And I think it's a great tool to sort of implement within a coffee morning or at the end of a session or something to invite people to. You could even do it on Zoom, couldn't you? But what a wonderful opportunity for those who don't yet know Jesus to just be gently introduced to the ways of God and his enormous love for them. Of course, for those who already believe, we always need reminding. So nobody's excluded. And I think it also would make a great home group resource for a season for those who already follow Jesus, just to be reminded and have those truths embedded so that we can go forward and flourish in our later life.
Thank you, David. It's not just resources that we produce here in the Congregational Life and Witness, but there's an event coming up on Thursday, the 16th of May in Assembly Buildings, the Age of Opportunity. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that and what people can expect?
Yes, Andrew, I genuinely can't wait for this to happen because it is one of those things that was meant to happen about 4 years ago, but had to be parked because of the interruption of the pandemic. So I'm just delighted that we've nearly got there in the end. And we have to believe that this is God's timing for highlighting this opportunity of ministry among those in later life. So the morning's going to be from 10:30 to 12:30 in Assembly Buildings. And we're going to be exploring the opportunities and possibilities for ministry, for outreach among those in later life. Rather than going on about the challenges of an aging society and the church, in much the same way as we've tried to in the podcast today. And we're just delighted that Alex is going to be coming over along with some others to share possibilities and stories of how churches have moved beyond the default of just doing things to look after older people, to actually engaging in discipleship among older people and also thinking about evangelism of those in later life. It's not going to be one of those events where you listen to big, long talks. What we've done instead is split the morning up into shorter bursts of stories, wee bit of reflection on scripture, wee bit of reflection on this theme and why it's important in the church. And so we really hope that this is the kind of thing that people will come to. They'll be enthusiastic about this. Alex has talked about church champions. I don't think we've got too many church champions for faith and later life in PCI at the moment. So we're hoping that people will sign up to be church champions and be able to access a lot of resources that faith and later life produce and see the website and all that sort of thing. And that people just come away saying, here's something we really should have a go at. So the morning is for anyone who wants to positively engage with this aspect of church life. It's for ministers, it's for elders, it's for other church staff, as well as those in later life themselves, because these are the people who are best equipped to reach their peers. So I'm really hoping that the hall is going to be well filled with all of those people, and particularly those in later life who we can envision and enthuse that God's not finished with them, far from it, that God wants to use them in the life and work of his church, and that they can bring a real contribution to that in ways that they maybe just haven't been able to see before. In many ways, what this is about is a change of mindset and the confidence to try something that doesn't need to be big. It can be very small. It can be very simple and yet still very significant. So I'm really hoping that lots of people will engage with this morning.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to coming over to help share some of the amazing opportunities, both in terms of mission and discipleship in later life. So it would be great for church leaders, it would be great for those in seniors ministry, and of course it will be great for older Christians as well. I'm going to be bringing along two of our church champions, actually, Judy and Sally. Judy is now 85. She was 83 when she picked up the leadership baton of her seniors ministry. She's doing a brilliant job. I'll let her share her own story. And Sally has a vast ministry among seniors in her church and in her community, really embracing all that there is that's good about later life and helping people to flourish there. So I can't wait to see them and listen to them. And I'll add a little bit myself as well.
Great, thank you. People listening are going to be able to see, but this whole conversation has been conducted with big smiles on faces and the genuine excitement about this, which we think will carry over into this day. But I suppose as we wrap up our conversation for this podcast, one of the ways we often end these is by seeing if there's a particular verse or passage of scripture that is on your heart when it comes to considering this particular theme of faith in later life. So Alex, why don't you go first and share for us, and then we'll let David share as well.
Well, it's really hard to choose because the Bible is actually full of great verses about how God loves and values us in later life. But I've chosen this one from Isaiah 46, verse 4. It says, "Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." Just that lovely reminder that God loves and values us for the whole of our lives. And we are called to follow in his footsteps and do the same among our older friends.
That's just such a great verse, isn't it? A kind of a weird verse comes to mind for me. And it's what it says about Moses when he died in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. Because we read there, Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Now, I'm guessing that was talking about his physical eyesight and strength, and I'm not sure how Moses pulled that off. He clearly didn't need to go to Specsavers. But I wonder, behind that physical picture, is there something almost metaphorical there as well about retaining vision and vigor in later life? And we shouldn't assume that either of those things have to fade as we get older. I think that is our working assumption. I've nothing new to bring here, no new vision. I've lost my vigor. And yet here's Moses, and he had both those things right to the end. And perhaps the wisdom of experience helps us in the church to see more clearly and give our energy to what really matters. Because that's kind of what I sense about Moses. Right to the end, he was able to see clearly, maybe more clearly than he did as a younger man. And he was able to keep going and give his energy to what really mattered right to the end. And if that is the case, they would be two things well worth asking God for as we enter later life as followers of Jesus. There'd be two things well worth trying to develop in the older members of our church. Keep telling us what you see and how you see it, because that's really important. And also keep going and giving energy to what God's calling you to do right to the end of your life.
Alex, Stephen, thank you. It's incredible, isn't it, to spend even a little bit of time there at the very end to be reminded as to how God's word speaks to us and how what he has to say to us is ever and eternally relevant, no matter what stage of life we may be at. So a big thank you to both of you for helping us to consider this theme of faith in later life. As has already been mentioned, the Council for Congregational Life and Witness is hosting an event in conjunction with the Faith in Later Life organization entitled Age of Opportunity on Thursday, the 16th of May, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. in Assembly Buildings, Belfast. And you can come along and hear a little bit more from Alex and from Judy and Sally, who we're all excited to meet. This morning event is for ministers, elders, church staff members, volunteers working alongside those in later life, and also those in that stage of life who love Jesus and who have eyes to see the potential for age-specific ministry and evangelism. The cost for this event is £6 per person, and you can book your place by visiting www.presbyterianireland.org/age of opportunity. We look forward to welcoming you to that in May. But until then, David is going to conclude this podcast with a prayer drawn from the All the Days of My Life resource. David.
Thanks, Andrew. As Alex said earlier, this resource really works through Psalm 23 in six sections. And at the end of each section, there's a little prayer. And I think that's been really important to the people who have used this resource, because it just gives them words to express simply what it is they want to say to God. And earlier on, Alex was talking about the real barrier of unforgiveness and how that can really distort and destroy people's later years. On the flip side of that, isn't it amazing to see older people who approach this stage of life? And you can see that it's really difficult for them, but they just exude the peace of God. And this prayer that comes right at the end of All the Days of My Life is really the prayer I think I would love to be able to pray when I get to that age and stage of life. So here's how it goes. Lord, my shepherd, thank you for your goodness and mercy throughout all the days of my life. Thank you for how you want me to know your peace in place of anxiety. Forgive me for the many ways I fail to trust you fully with the future. Help me to know that Jesus has overcome death. Reassure me that my future is safe in your care. Be my shepherd, bringing me on the journey home to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.